bear from, you can read through scripture, Israel will become a problem. It will become a cup of trembling, as it says, to all the nations about. But here's the end of it. This is what Jesus has got in mind. I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. Then in verse 3 it says, then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations. In verse 4 it says, his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north and half of it toward the south. Now that is one big rearrangement of geography. Verse 9, the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day there shall be one Lord, and his name one. I can't wait for that. Verse 12, and this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet. Their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. This is graphic stuff. I am told, I don't want to make too much of this, I'm not making a doctrine of it, but I am told that people who have studied what happens in a nuclear holocaust, that is exactly what happens to people. You read the descriptions of people when they are incinerated in a nuclear holocaust, that is what happens. It will be a terrible time. Now, I believe if you're in the church, then you're going to miss that. I believe that God will come and he will snatch you away. The second point that I want to make this morning is, and this is really what I want to leave you with when you go, and that is, are you watching? Are you looking at these signs? Are you watching? Are you aware, or are you asleep? Turn with me to Matthew again, chapter 24, verse 40. Matthew chapter 24, verse 40. It talks about what will happen in the times of the end. Many people place this at the end of the tribulation. Matthew 24, verse 40, it says, then shall two be in the field, and one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding in the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. And here's what I want to get. This is the point I want to make. Watch, therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord does come. Are you living as if Jesus could return at any minute? Now, if we are, I think we would have to slap ourselves on the face, and we would have to stop ourselves during each day and during the week. Because I think, if you're like me, you get so busy you just forget about these things. But I think we need to meditate on this sometimes. And to be living as if Jesus would return at any minute. Let me ask you this question. Are you vexed with the world? Lot was vexed with the world. Lot had enough of the world. I find, talking to a lot of older people in our church, they often say to me, this world has got nothing for me, I'm ready to go. If the Lord keeps me here, that's fine, but I'm ready to go. I'm vexed with the world. Younger people, I find I have to talk to them a little bit more about that. And we need to pray for our young people, because young people, there is so much out there in the world that is going in their ear gate, and that is going in their eye gate, and the temptations are great. I think as we get older, we tend to realise that our life is coming, will come to an end, or is coming to an end, and that we're not going to take anything with us, and that the time is close. Are we asleep? Are we lukewarm? Or are we watching and ready? Have you committed your life to holiness? Are you praying for the lost and witnessing the Lord whenever you have the opportunity? Can you say with Paul, when he said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 to 8, that you are a candidate for the crown of righteousness because you have lived your life, and quote, he said this, in the love of his appearing. Are you watching? The scriptures constantly repeat this. You've got the parables. You've got the parable of the two servants in Matthew chapter 24, and it teaches to be ready in case there's an unexpected, for yourself, an unexpected return. You've got the parable of the virgins to be ready in case he delays his return. You've got the parable of the talents, where it talks about wasted opportunities but rewards for faithfulness. Matthew chapter 25 verse 13 says, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man comes." This is repeated quite often in Scripture. Mark 13 verse 33, "Take you heed and watch and pray, for you know not when the time is." 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 6, "Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober." You know, sometimes I think we need to have a message on this, and we need our Christian friends to remind us of this and to stir us up so that we can have that imminency. By the way, often people say to me, but the early church thought that Jesus was coming back. And yes, they did. But I think this doctrine of imminency is built into Scripture. I think it's built in so that we would always believe that the Lord is coming back. But I don't believe that they had the signs that we have now. Just to give you an illustration of how easy it is to go to sleep. When I was young, I used to do some navigating on yachts. I always wanted to get on yachts. I've done sailing for most of my life. I've lived on boats. My family lived on boats. So I had a lot to do with yachts, and I wanted to be a navigator on the yacht. And in the Cairns Cruising Yacht Squadron, when we lived up there, I did some courses in navigation, and I managed to get a berth on a yacht. And I was a navigator. And at the end of the race, after doing all the navigation for them, etc., everyone was pretty tired, and the men went down below to go to sleep, and they left me at the wheel for quite a few hours while they snoozed on down below. And I had to steer the yacht, I had to stay awake, and I had to navigate at the same time. I can remember losing 15 minutes. I can remember looking at my watch and realising that 15 minutes had gone by and I had gone to sleep and hadn't even known about it. I'd obviously fallen asleep on over the wheel. And I can remember realising that it was a very dangerous thing, because we were coming up to a set of cliffs, and I knew that we had to make a change of course. And 15 minutes, the yacht had gone further than what I really wanted it to go. And I thought how easy it is to fall asleep. And of course you've got ads on, you've got adverts about cars. It's very easy. They say now you have to have a micro sleep and you can fall asleep at the wheel so easily. Well, sometimes I wonder whether the church has fallen asleep and they don't even know it. It's easy to do. We have two things that will not make us fall asleep. We have like a map, which is the Word of God, and we have like a compass, which is the Holy Spirit. The map has clear directions on it where we should go. The Word of God tells us exactly where we should be going. And the Holy Spirit is a compass that guides us through the Word of God and makes that known to us. In conclusion, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. And it goes on and says, likewise also as it was in the days of Lot. Are we heading towards those days, or are we in those days? That's the question this morning. You've got the signs in society, the violence, the bloodshed, the lawlessness. You've got homosexuality, which was in the days of Lot. You've got inventions, which was in the days of Noah. You've got the signs of nature. We're told to watch for earthquakes and famines and pestilence. And it says all these things are just the beginning of sorrows. Is that happening today? Is it happening in increasing frequency and intensity? You've got the increase of knowledge and technology. And you've got the falling away of the church. And a departing from the faith. And Paul urges Timothy. He says, watch you in these things. And you've got the nation of Israel. And the scriptures in Zechariah talk about what is going to happen in the end there. Are we watching or are we asleep? Are you living your life in the love of his appearing? Waiting and loving for his appearing. You know, I often, when I'm talking to the young people, I often say, do you really want to go to heaven? Are you really ready to go? Or are there things here on earth that are so important to you that you're not, maybe not living in the love of his appearing? Do you really want him to come back now? Are we watching? The scriptures constantly repeat this, to be watching, to be ready. Finally, two scriptures, Mark 13, verse 33. Take you heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. And 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 6. Therefore, let us not sleep, as do others, but let us watch and be sober. And I'm also reminded just now of that scripture in Hebrews, which talks about not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, what? As you see the day approaching. If ever there was a day when we need to be assembling together and exhorting one another, encouraging one another, it's now, as we see the day approaching. I'm also just thinking, finally, that song, Seek You First, the Kingdom of God, and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you.